1 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 25, and going to chapter 10 and verse 16. These are God's words. When they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on top of the house. They rose early, and it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on top of the house, saying, "Get up, that I may send you on your way." Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. As they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us," he went on. "But you stand here a while, that I may announce to you the word of God." Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because Yahweh has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin and Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There are three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a skin of wine. They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. And after that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them. And they will be prophesying, and then the Spirit of Yahweh will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and to make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you should do." So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. And then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened, when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Then a man from there answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when he had finished prophesying, he went down to the high place. Then Saul's uncle said to him and to his servant, "Where did you go?" And so he said, "To look for the donkeys." When we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, "Tell me, please, what Samuel said to you." And so Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found. What about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said." So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Yes, Victoria.
What does proverb mean?
Proverb means a saying that they used to mean something else. I'll give you some examples some other time. But isn't that the cat's meow? People don't say that anymore, but that's an old proverb, I guess. At least in the way that the word is being used here. Okay. Maybe the word, the phrase idiom would have been better in that place. Okay. So in this passage, we have Samuel establishing for Saul that the way that he is to be king, the way he is to conduct himself as king, is in dependence upon God's Spirit and obedience to God's word. Okay? So he gives him, he is going to tell him a message, and when he tells him the message, when he pulls him aside, You know, he's in a hurry. He's going to get him on his way. Saul doesn't know this, but the reason to get him on his way is because he's going to have a very long day of a bunch of different signs happening to him on that day. But they're in a hurry, and suddenly he sends a servant on ahead, and he says, "Psst, let me tell you something, Saul." And you know, before he says anything, he pulls out a horn of oil and pours it on Saul's head, and now Saul is all dripping with scented oil. You know, his hair is all sticky and matted, and this is how you get me ready to go on my long trip that you got me up early so I could leave in time for. But the point is that it's the Lord who is anointing him. It's the Lord who has selected him to be in command over the Lord's inheritance. And so Saul is not to do this in Saul's strength, but in dependence upon the Lord's spirit. And Saul is not to do this according to Saul's ideas, but Saul is to do this in obedience to the Lord's word, because it's the Lord's office as king, and it's the Lord's inheritance who are the people over whom he is going to be king. And so he gives him three signs, the last of which is the one that he highlights when the Spirit comes down upon him and he even prophesies. But all three signs are kind of odd things. He tells in specific places and specific numbers of people who are going to meet them, specific things they are going to say, you know, right down to the identical words of the first two guys who tell him about the donkeys, exactly what each of the three guys is going to be carrying when he meets them outside Bethel, and exactly how much of what they're going to offer him, the two loaves of bread. And then the most unpredictable thing of all, right? Conversation's pretty unpredictable. What people are going to be carrying and what they're going to give him, pretty unpredictable. Most unpredictable thing of all, what the Holy Spirit of God is going to do. This is a point that Jesus makes to Nicodemus, right, in John chapter 3. He says, you can't order the Spirit of God. He goes where he will. You can see what he's done, but you can't predict or command what the Spirit of God is going to do. And so the Spirit of God does come upon Saul and makes him, at this point, to prophesy, which shows us that the Spirit of God comes upon whom he will, when he will, where he will, to do what he will. And so God is completely free and entirely powerful to do whatever he wills. But Saul is completely powerless for what he needs to do, except by the enabling of God, and particularly of God the Holy Spirit. So he is not to do what he does, as the Lord's anointed over the Lord's inheritance, except by the power of the Lord's Spirit. And so it's not just that Saul isn't to do it by his strength, but he's also not to do it by his idea. He's supposed to act in obedience, right? So we see this in three different ways. One, the summary at the beginning is that Samuel told Saul, he got him up early to talk to him. We find out then that he's getting him up early also because he needs to get going because he's got a big journey ahead of him this day. In the second place, when he says, send the servant ahead, he says, so that I may talk to you. And in the third place, once all of the signs have been completed, Samuel tells Saul what his response is going to be. What great thing is Saul supposed to do when he sees the fulfillment of these three amazing signs? He's supposed to go to Gilgal. What great thing is he supposed to do at Gilgal? Sit around for 7 days. Wait until the prophet, who is the representative, the embodied representative of the word of God, wait for the prophet, wait for the word to come. Saul is to not do according to his own ideas, but according to the word of God. Now you understand later, right, when when we have a similar situation and Saul does not wait for Samuel. Why it's such a big deal? Because the whole point is that you do it only in dependence upon the Spirit, not in dependence upon your own strength. You do it only according to the Word of God, in obedience and submission to the Word, not according to your own wisdom. And we too are told over and over again in the Bible, aren't we, that this is the way that we live the Christian life. That just as you can only be right with God by what Jesus has done, you can only grow in holiness as a Christian by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, working in you. You must depend entirely upon God, the Holy Spirit. And this is something that the Lord shows us in our baptisms with the pouring out of the water, just as the Lord pours out his Spirit. So we can only grow in the Christian life and serve in the Christian life by God's power. So there needs to be this dependence upon him. And whenever he shows us our weakness, it's a providential reminder, praise God, to depend upon him. And the second thing is to pursue this growth, to pursue this service, always only according to God's word, and not to consider our wisdom as a form of instruction, but that whenever we employ our wisdom, it would always be trying to do as exactly as possible and as thoroughly as possible according to what the Lord Jesus has said. So always being directed by the scriptures in God's word. So only by God's Spirit, only by God's word, was Saul to reign as king, are we to live as Christians. And the wonderful ultimate truth of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ did depend in his human nature upon the Holy Spirit. He went in the power of the Spirit from his baptism all the way through the cross into the resurrection. And he perfectly submitted to the word of God. Waiting on the Lord was a big part of what he was doing when he resisted the temptations of Satan. And he did so much in his life and ministry in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. The gospel tells us Jesus has done perfectly what is required of us, and that is what is counted for us with God to be our righteousness, our right standing before him. And that is what is being applied to us by the Holy Spirit as he works out the life of Christ in us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the one who has given us the assignments of our life, that we are your people set apart by your grace for your purposes unto your glory. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us of your Spirit, that he would work powerfully in us, and that among what he does, that he would make us to abandon all trusting in self or resting upon our own strength, that he would make us to rest upon his strength, your strength in him and in Christ. And we pray that you would grant to us by your same Spirit that we would submit to your word and be directed by it and not be full of our own wisdom or ideas, but that we would exercise all of our thinking in attempting to carry out what you have instructed unto your glory. Sustain us, Lord, for we are not only spiritually weak in these things where Saul failed, but Christ perfectly succeeded. We're also very physically weak. And so we ask that you would work out in us the character of Christ, not the character of Saul. We praise you for giving the son of David instead of the son of Kish to be the King of Kings and to be our Redeemer, that we might live in union with him. Glorify yourself in Christ in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.